Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. And now for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Christy Snyder. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Dana. And welcome, everyone, to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is best practices to maintain a WebSphere Commerce DB2 database. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, the lines will open for a question and answer session. Today's presenters are Daniel Owusu-Afari and Mark Kershaw. Daniel and Mark are WebSphere Commerce support analysts. As members of the WebSphere Commerce Level 2 support team, Daniel and Mark are responsible for providing technical assistance to customers using the WebSphere Commerce family of products, from installation and configuration to integration and performance. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Daniel. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Christy. If everyone can just turn to slide 2, and we'll have a look at the agenda for today's presentation. So at a very high level, this is our agenda for today. We're going to be discussing the importance of regular database maintenance. We will look at some utilities provided by DB2 for maintenance, particularly the RunStat, ReorgTech, Reorg, and DB2 Rebind commands. We're also going to take a look at the database cleanup utility that is provided by WebSphere Commerce. Slide 3, please. So over 90% of our database performance PMRs that we get in WebSphere Commerce support are usually a result of poor database maintenance. So we've observed that most of these issues are because customers are not running a regular database maintenance schedule. Over time, your commerce database is filled with stale orders, expired guest users, user traffic logs, expired coupons and promotions. These will eventually result in deadlocks, timeouts, and general performance degradation. Slide 4, please. So, DB2 collects statistics about objects in the database, including tables and indexes. So, these statistics are used by the optimizer to determine access plans. Basically, each query that is executed is associated with an access plan, and the access plan defines the order for accessing tables. You have things like which indexes are used and by what kind of join methods that the data is correlated. So the DB2 optimizer makes decisions based on statistics that are available for the tables and indexes. You can see that a good access plan is key for the fast execution of a query, and statistics are a very important part of this process. Over time, your database content will change, resulting in out-of-date statistics. So, for example, you have a very high order volume on a weekly basis. So let's say the last time you collected statistics for your order table, the table only contained about 1,000 rows. In the past week, your order table has grown to, let's say, 1,000,000 rows. Now, the optimizer is not aware of the current table size, and it may decide to load up the entire table in memory instead of using an index scan. So it's also important to note that performance degradation on your database may start slowly, or it can just happen all of a sudden based on a recent change to the database, and we'll talk more about this later. Your database contents also become fragmented with all the access to the database, updates, deletes, inserts, and it's going to result in inefficient access of your data, which again leads to performance degradation. Can we go to slide 5, please? So on this slide, we have a flow of the utilities and how we recommend you use them together. There are 4 database utilities that we use to maintain commerce databases, and this chart is the flow of the overall process. So basically, we'll start with RunStat, we'll do a reorg check, we'll do a reorg, we'll do another RunStat, and then we'll finally do a rebind. The next slide will go into more detail about the utilities. Slide 6, please. The first utility that we're going to look at today is the RunStat utility. I mentioned in the previous slide how the DB2 optimizer uses statistics from tables and indexes to determine the best access plan. So RunStat is a DB2 utility that updates statistics about the characteristics of a table and any index associated with the table. This utility will collect statistics about the table, its columns, and its indexes. So, for example, statistics that it might collect for a table would be the number of pages in use by the table, the number of rows in the table. Statistics that it will collect for a column could be the highest value in the column, the lowest value in the column, and, for instance, the number of nulls in the column. Slide 7, please. DB2 keeps statistical information about tables and indexes in two of its system catalog views. These are syscat.tables and syscat.indexes. You can query these views manually yourself to find out the last time that statistics are collected for a table or an index. So on this slide, we have here a query that would basically give us a table name, the table schema, and the timestamp that the last time statistics were collected for the table. So if you look at the query, we have DB2 select table schema, table name, that time from the syscat.tables, and we order by the statistics time ascending. We do the same query for an index to find out the last time we collected statistics for an index. There are quite a lot of columns in these tables, syscat.tables and syscat.indexes, and we don't include all of them in the query, obviously. But there are some other important ones, such as the card column. So if you look at the syscat.tables or syscat.indexes, and the card column for one of these views displays a value of -1, or the stat time column displays a null value for a table, then you know that the RunStat utility has not been run for that table. So basically, we don't have any statistical information on this table. This is bad. The key point here is that if RunStat has been run, the stat time column will contain a timestamp of the last time statistics were collected for this table. So if you find you're not doing RunStats regularly, or you don't know the last time that you performed a RunStat on your tables and indexes, you can use this query to find the last time that you did this. Slide 8, please. So here is a sample output from the SQL on the previous place. On the previous slide, you can see we have a table schema. These are some access control tables, and these are the timestamps for the last time that statistics were collected for these tables. The output for indexes is very similar, except that if you're looking at that output, you'll also see the index name and the table that it belongs to. Slide 9, please. Ideally, you should perform RunStat on your tables and indexes in the following situation. After data has been loaded into the database, for example, if you've used MassLoad. So you can imagine that when you're MassLoading things into your tables, it's obviously going to affect the table cardinality, the number of pages used by the table, and the optimizer should be aware of these changes so that it can create an efficient access plan next time you run a query that involves these tables. If you've reorganized a database table, and we'll talk more about the reorg utility later, it's going to compact your table. So again, the number of pages the table is using would have changed. So you want to do a RunStat after this again. After a table and its indexes have been extensively updated by data updates, deletions, and insertions, so in the case of stage propagation, for instance, or when you run the dbclean utility, you want to run a RunStat again. Slide 10, please. So we have on this slide a RunStat syntax. We have RunStat on table, schema.table name with distribution and indexes all. This particular syntax that we have here also collects enhanced statistics. So the RunStat utility collects two kinds of statistics, basic statistics and enhanced statistics. And the examples that we talked about earlier were basic statistics for the table, so the number of pages, table cardinality, those statistics are all basic. And I'll explain the enhanced statistics in a minute. This syntax will work well for most commerce databases, but every customer's database is quite different. You might have a larger database. You might have large order volumes going through. So we always recommend that you take a look at the DB2 Info Center, explore the other options available to Randstad, and you might find that there's an option that works better for your database. We have, on the second point, the with distribution clause, which specifies that both basic statistics and distribution statistics are to be collected. So distribution statistics are an enhanced statistic. So normally, the catalog statistic table contain information about the highest and the lowest value in a table, column, or an index. Now, what the optimizer is going to do is it will assume that the data values are evenly distributed between these endpoints. So if the highest value is 10 and the lowest value is 1, it's going to assume that we have numbers 1 to 10 evenly distributed between these endpoints. But data values on a real-life database can be very different from one another. And sometimes the data values are clustered together in some spots, so you can have 1, 3, 3, 3, 8, 7, 7, or you can have duplicate data values. And the optimizer cannot choose an optimal access path unless distribution statistics are collected. So when you specify the with distribution clause, the Randstad utility will collect these kinds of statistics for the table column. The indexes all clause specifies that we want to collect statistics for the indexes as well. So in addition to collecting statistics for the table, we will collect statistics for any indexes associated with the table. Slide 11, please. In a commerce database, there are hundreds of tables. It can be quite tedious to run the Randstad command on each table manually. So you saw from the previous slide that you have to specify both the schema and the table name for the Randstad command. For scripting purposes, if you wanted to run the Randstad utility on a whole bunch of tables, you can use the SQL on this page. This will basically query your syscat tables view and output a Randstad command for each table in your commerce database. If we look at slide 12, here we have a sample output for scripting purposes. These are basically some orders tables. So the SQL from the previous page will output a command for each of these tables. So you have run stats on table db2-1.orgstats with distribution and indexes all. Basically a command for each table in your commerce database. Slide 13. The next utility that we'll discuss is the reorg check utility. So the reorg check utility is basically an information gathering utility that will use different algorithms and formulas to find tables and indexes that need to be reorganized. The reorg check command will output a table listen. And if you take a look at the output, it's going to be split into two sections. The top section will be for your tables, and the bottom section is for indexes. And we'll look at an example of this in the next couple of slides. Slide 14, please. So the reorg command reorganizes a table or index. Basically, your database activities are going to delete data. You're inserting new data. You have all these updates. With these activities, your database content eventually becomes fragmented. So the reorg command is basically the same idea as the Windows defrag utility. It will rebuild the data into unfragmented, physically contiguous pages wherever it's possible. Slide 15, please. This slide shows a sample syntax that can be used for the reorg check and reorg commands. The first command is for reorg check. So we have DB2 reorg check current statistics on table all. The important part of the reorg check syntax here is that the current statistic clause is used. And after we look at an example of the output of the reorg check utility in the next slide, I'll explain the importance of this clause. The second command is for reorg. So we have DB2 reorg table created a table name. So for example, we could have DB2 reorg table db2-1.orders. We'll run this command for any table that needs to be reorganized. Any table or index that need to be organized will be depicted in the reorg check output, and it will have an asterisk in the last column of the reorg check command. And we'll see this on the next slide. Now, the thing is that there are a lot of options available for these utilities, and we're not going to go into the details of all the options in this presentation. For most Webster Commerce databases, the above syntax should suffice. But again, I highly recommend that you review the other options available for these utilities and find the one that best fits your database. So you can see in this reorg syntax here that we are only reorganizing the table, not an index. So this particular reorg syntax that we have here is also known as a classic reorg. This is essentially an offline reorg. And now when we say offline reorg, we don't mean that your database is offline. It's just assumed that your applications are not going to require write access to the tables when they are being reorganized. During the last phase of a classic reorg, it's also going to go through your indexes and completely rebuild them, so you don't have to reorg indexes manually. So if you use a syntax like this, you can rest assured that your indexes for that table are also going to be reorganized. DB2 provides two methods for reorganizing tables. The classic one, which is the syntax that we have here, and also we have an in-place reorganization. In general, the classic table reorganization is faster, but again, this is used when your application can function without write access. So the reorg is basically going to log the tables that it's reorganizing as needed, and with your applications won't be able to write to those tables at that time. But your applications can still read from the table. Now, if your environment doesn't allow the restriction that your applications can function without write access, then what you want to do is you want to look into the in-place reorg. So the in-place reorg is slower, but the good thing about it is that it can run in the background and it will allow access to the table. At the end of this presentation, we actually have a resources page that has links to these utilities, and there's a detailed explanation of all the available syntaxes. You can see syntaxes that can be used with the in-place reorg as well. Slide 16, please. So when you're doing a reorg check, it's going to use various formulas to determine if the table or the index need to be reorganized. And actually, when you look at a sample from a reorg check, it's going to show you a description of the formulas that it's using, and you can take a look at this if you're interested. For tables, the reorg check is going to use three formulas. So you can see on slide 16 that in the last column, we have three dashes. So each dash corresponds to a formula. Again, this slide shows an output for a table. And so if you look at the first row, we can see that there's an asterisk on the first dash. So that means the boundaries that have been defined for the formulas, this has failed for the first formula. Once you see an asterisk on any of these columns, so it can be one, it can be two, it can be three, it can fail for one formula or all three, but as soon as you see one, you know that this table or index needs to be reorganized. Slide 17, please. I mentioned in the previous slide the importance of the current statistics clause in the reorg check syntax. So by default, the reorg check utility actually performs a run stat if no options are given. So for example, if you issue the command db2 reorg check on table all, this command will actually update your statistics with run stats as part of the reorg check process. The unfortunate thing about this is that it doesn't give you any good flexibility. Obviously, you can't specify that enhanced statistics should be collected, so that's what's the with distribution clause. And you can't specify that statistics should be collected for indexes. That's the indexes call clause. So basically, the reorg checks statistics update is going to end up giving you basic table statistics. So that's why we recommend that you actually do your own run stats and specify your options before running the reorg check. So if we specify the current statistics clause, it means that the reorg check is going to skip the run stats step, and the current database statistics will be used. Now, since we do a run stats before doing a reorg check, we know that the statistics will be up to date. By doing the run start test manually beforehand, we can specify with distribution and index resolve. Slide 18, please. The next utility that we're going to look at is the rebind utility. What's your commerce ships with 16 out-of-box packages? And when these packages were bound to your database, they were bound using access plans based on statistics at bind time. After running run stats to collect new statistics, it's very important that you rebind these packages so that they can take advantages. They can take advantage of these new statistics. So you can rebind the packages individually using the db2 rebind command, or you can rebind them all at once using the db2 rbind command. Obviously, you're going to want to use the db2 rbind command to do this instead of doing manually binding it, rebinding each package. Slide 19, please. The rebind command binds the packages one at a time, so we're going to use the db2 rebind command instead to bind all the packages. Now, the important thing here is that you want to make sure that you specify the all parameter. This parameter is a flag that says that you want to rebind both valid and invalid packages. If you don't specify this parameter, only invalid packages are going to be rebound. If you are running the db2 rbind command from a remote catalog database, you want to specify the db2 username and the db2 password, otherwise it's not going to work from a remote node. Slide 20, please. So this is the same flow that we showed earlier in the presentation, and now we'll give you a summary based on the tools that we have just discussed. So we're going to start off with a run stat to collect statistics based on the current state of the database. Now that we have these statistics, we're going to run a reorg check to determine if the tables need a reorganization. From the output of the reorg check, we are going to reorg tables and indexes that are marked as needing a reorg. After we've reorged the tables and they've been compacted and the number of pages in use have changed, we want to do a run stats again to collect statistics based on the reorganized database state. And then finally, we want to recreate the packages so that they can take advantage of these new statistics. Slide 22. So how does online maintenance affect users, people browsing your site, shoppers on your commerce application? A classic reorg will lock the tables that are being reorganized for writing. So obviously your shoppers won't be able to access this table while it's being reorganized. So again, if you need to allow updates to the tables while they're being reorganized, then you want to use an online table reorganization, which is the in-place reorganization. We generally recommend that you schedule your maintenance window during a downtime, or at least at a time when there is very low site traffic. But it's basically going to be up to your DBA and your business users to determine the best time. A point to remember here is that for online maintenance, if you have Dynacache implemented, shoppers will be able to browse your cache pages. However, if they need database access, if they're making any updates, if they're adding to shopping cart, they will notice performance degradation. Slide 23, please. On slide 23, we have some options for online maintenance, which is the in-place reorganization. So when you're doing table reorganization, by default, read access is allowed. The allow write access option is only valid when you're using an in-place reorganization. As I mentioned earlier, this in-place reorganization takes place asynchronously in the background and it's slower. But it will allow your users to write to the tables during the reorganization. Another option that we have is allow no access, and if you're considering using this, then you might as well be using an offline reorg, which would be the classic reorg. And like I mentioned, it's possible to use this option with Dynacache, but it's only going to provide browse-only functionality. So after you've completed your maintenance cycle, do you need to reset your environment? Well, you haven't made any changes to the commerce application, so a restart to commerce is unnecessary, and you don't need to restart your database either. The only part where I can think of you needing to restart your database is probably if you have agents that are connected to the database and you think they're not taking advantage of the new statistics, then sure, you might want to restart. But generally, you don't want to restart your database. So basically, that's the flow for the maintenance cycle. I will turn the call now to my colleague, Mark Kershaw, and we'll discuss the next part of the presentation.
Thanks, Dan. So the next piece of the puzzle that we want to talk about is the WebSphere Commerce Database Cleanup Utility. So slide 25, please. Keeping obsolete data in your database will affect your runtime performance and it'll make your database difficult to manage. So in order to keep your database in an optimal and up-to-date state, you need to define and enforce policies that will remove the outdated information from the database. So the database cleanup utility is a commerce-specific utility that will allow you to delete objects from the database. And essentially, it's an encapsulation of SQL delete statements that allow you to tailor these deletions to the policies that you've defined. Slide 26, please. So what we've given here is just a general dbclean flow. So what you need to do is start off by identifying the data that needs to be cleaned up. So, for example, orders or users. You then need to define a policy for the cleanup. So, for example, this would be the lifetime of an order or of a user. And finally, you actually need to go ahead and enforce this policy using the dbclean utility. So if we go to slide 27, we have here an example of a policy. Shoppers to your site who add to their cart but don't get logged into the site will generate a guest user ID. However, a lot of the time, these shoppers won't actually go through the checkout process. So over time, the database will accumulate these abandoned shopping carts and can grow rapidly with guest user information. So what you can do is put a policy into place that'll say that guest users and their stale orders can get removed from the system after a period of X number of days. So for example, after 30 days. You could then write a script that uses dbclean to enforce this policy. So one key point to note about deleting guest shopper information is that by default, dbclean will only remove guest shoppers that aren't associated with their shopping carts. So in order to clean out your stale guest shoppers, you first have to clean up the stale shopping carts and then go ahead and clean up the stale guest shoppers afterwards. Slide 28, please. So what we have here is some example syntax that shows how the dbclean utility can be used. So the first point here shows a very generic syntax, and the second point shows it to be in accordance with the example that we gave in the previous slide. So the key points here are the object parameter and the type parameter. So you can see here we're specifying the user object, and the type of user is going to be guest. We also want to specify the days parameter. So here we're specifying that everything should be cleaned out over 30 days old. Slide 29, please. We also want to bring to your attention a couple other important dbclean parameters, one of which is the log level. So like most WebSphere Commerce functions, dbclean can log all of its activities. And by default, the log level is debug, but you can specify any of the six log levels that are specified here. Another important parameter is the commit option, which defaults to 1,000, but again, you can set it to any value that you like. So basically, this is the number of rows that will be deleted from the database per commit. And finally, the max option is a hard limit in case you're concerned about the length of time that dbclean will take. So this defaults to 100,000, and could be useful depending on whether or not you've run dbclean before or if you're expecting to be deleting a large number of objects. Slide 30, please. We've listed here four different examples of objects that can be cleaned up by using the dbclean utility. And we've listed these four here because these are ones that typically can grow quite large in your database. But this isn't meant to be a comprehensive list. And in fact, there are 68 different types of objects that can be removed using dbclean. So typically, the business side of your organization needs to determine the policies and objects that need to be cleaned up. So we're just going to briefly look at these four objects. The cache IVL table contains Dynacache entries that need to be invalidated. And once these have been invalidated, they'll be flagged that this has already taken place. So once this has happened, these entries can be safely cleaned up from the table. The orders table, typically you want to clean out your stale guests, stale non-guests, and canceled orders from the system. Your users table will contain either guest or registered user information, and typically you would want to clean out guest user information because usually this is people that have added to their cart but haven't continued through the checkout process. And also any coupon or promotion objects that have expired will also be left in the database, and these should be cleaned out as well. So if we go to slide 31, we've given a link here that you can go to in the version 6, the Commerce version 6 information center, and it contains a complete list of the objects that can be removed with the dbclean utility. Slide 32, please. Another important part of Commerce that should be maintained regularly is the scheduled jobs table. Now, this is something that often gets neglected because there isn't an out-of-the-box dbclean scheduler object. However, in place of this, there is a clean job command that can be used. And again, we've provided a link here in the version 6 information center so you can read up on this a little bit more. But essentially, the SCH status table will contain an entry for every execution of a job. Now, because of the large volume of jobs that get run by the Commerce Scheduler, job status records that are kept in the SCH status table can become quite numerous. And this can have an adverse effect on the performance of your server. So this is why we recommend that you periodically clean up the SCH status table. Now, this clean job command comes with an end time parameter, which you can use to specify up until what point you want scheduled jobs deleted. You can also specify that all jobs within a previous week or within the previous month should be cleaned out. And an interesting point to note here is that when you clean up scheduled jobs using this clean job command, the store publishing utility can't retrieve the publish status for any previously published store archives. So as a result of this, if you were to go to the Commerce Admin Console, the publish status for a successfully published store archive will actually indicate that it's not being published, even though you know that this isn't the case. So if this is something that's important to you, you can get around this problem by using manual SQL to delete these entries as opposed to using the clean job command. And when you're using this manual SQL, you can explicitly specify that it shouldn't clean out these particular jobs. Slide 33, please. So it's possible to extend the dbclean command if you have any custom database tables of your own. So essentially, all that has to be done here is for an entry to be added into the clean comp table. Now, the clean comp table is the database table that contains all of the delete statements for the various dbclean commands. And we've also, again, on this slide, we've added a link to the version 6 information center so that you can read up a little bit more on this. But essentially, the key point for this is that you need to write your custom SQL delete statement to add into this table, as well as specifying a couple other parameters to tailor the functionality. if we go to slide 34, we just want to bring to mind a couple things to watch out for when running dbclean. Now, it's possible that you may never have run dbclean on your system before, say, for example, on the guest user object. So if this is the case and your site's been running for a while, it's possible that you'll have a great many number of objects in a particular table. So in this case, you can take advantage of the days parameter and start by deleting all objects greater than, say, 2 years, and then you can move to 1.5 years and then 1 year and so on. You could also use the max parameter to set a hard limit on the number of records you want to delete in case you're concerned about the amount of time that dbclean takes. And again, the commit parameter, like we discussed before, you can specify so that your transactions are committed more frequently. Another important point to keep in mind is that dbclean isn't meant to be used on your staging database, apart from for the stag log object. Now, the stag log object, or the stag log table, is what's used to keep track of objects that need to be propagated over to your production database. And once an object's been propagated over, it's flagged as already being processed. So you can use the dbclean on the stag log table to clean out all of these objects that have already been processed. And the primary reason that dbclean shouldn't be used on your other staging tables is because of the presence of database triggers. And finally, just keep in mind that dbclean is actually deleting from your database. Now, a lot of the time with WebSphere Commerce, when you remove things, say, from within the accelerator, it's not actually deleting it from the database. Instead, it's just flagging it for delete. And if you look at some of the database tables, there's a column called Mark for Delete. So when you use dbclean, you're actually going ahead and cleaning these out from the database. So this is just something to keep in mind when defining your policies. Slide 35, please. So what we can look at now is adding dbclean into the overall maintenance flow that we've been keeping track of through this presentation. When you run dbclean, the table statistics are getting affected, and this is especially the case if it's the first time you're running dbclean and there's a lot of rows being deleted from the table. So this means that primarily your table cardinalities are going to change, and also your table content can be left in a fragmented state. So on slide 36, we can slot in dbclean into our overall maintenance flow. So you can see here that we put it in at the very beginning. Since running dbclean affects your statistics, it's important to do the run stats reorg and rebind sequence after doing the dbclean. So that's why we put it in at the beginning. Slide 37, please. So we can see here the final maintenance flow, which includes all elements of today's presentation. So to begin with, you want to run dbclean to remove your obsolete data. You then want to run runstats to collect statistics based on the state of the database after doing the deletions. And then you need to do a reorg check so that you can determine, based on the statistics from step two, if you need to do a reorg. And then actually go ahead and reorg the tables and indexes wherever necessary. And finally, collect your updated statistics based on the reorganized database state, and go ahead and recreate your packages with these new statistics. So if you follow these six steps on a regular basis, you can be ensured that your database will be kept in a well-maintained state. Slide 38, please. So we've listed here a few of the resources that we like to reference when doing this type of maintenance. There's some links here from the information centers, both the Commerce and the DB2 Information Center, as well as a couple of DeveloperWorks articles. So if you go to some of these links and do some reading, you can find out a little bit more about a lot of the parameters that we talked about, and especially some of the additional options that Dan talked about when doing run stats, reorg check, and reorg. Slide 39, please. This chart includes some links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for the WebSphere product. DeveloperWorks offers some in-depth technical information. The events link on the support pages points you to the webcast and conference information. And if you visit WebSphere.org, you'll get user group information and some additional product information. Now, the IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get users up the learning curve quickly. And the ESR tool that's listed here is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs all online. And finally, the My Support link on the product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products that are of interest to you. And I'll now turn the call back over to the moderator, Christy Snyder.
Thank you, Daniel and Mark, for a great presentation. At this point, Dana, we would like to open the lines for questions. I will now turn the call over to Daniel and Mark. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Snyder. And we'll take a question from Tom Bilbro. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, I was just wondering how much of what was covered on the DB Queen section of the presentation would be different if the database was Oracle instead of DB2.
So there's a flag when you run DB Queen that you can specify the type of database that you're using. So by default, if you don't specify the flag, it goes to DB2. So that's what we did here. But if you do specify Oracle, I mean, the functionality is basically essentially the same. I mean, in the clean comp table that stores the SQLs, it's just straight SQL, right? So, I mean, it's obviously independent of your database type. So, really, the only difference is specifying that flag.
And it appears we have no further questions. Ms. Snyder, I'll turn the call back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation as well. We hope you will join us for future presentations. Thank you very much for joining us today. And thank you, Daniel and Mark, for presenting today.
And that does conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.